Today's shiur and every shiur is Rav Chodesh Nisan, is sponsored by Yocheved and Roni Goldberg, L'zecher Nishmas, Mrs. Goldberg's grandmother, the Neshama, she continues to have an aliyah through the learning that we do throughout Chodesh Nisan. One Chodesh Nisan halacha, that's a very much nogea to the month of Nisan, and we will discuss how nogea it is bizman hazeh, how nogea it is in chutzlaritz, is the halacha of chadash, commonly referred to as the halacha of yashan, because when people are looking for something that's not chadash, they ask, do you have yashan flour here, right? Because yashan would be mutter, chadash would be asir. So I want to just talk about, today, I just want to learn through the sugya a little bit, as to what the isser is. A lot of people don't even realize that it's an isser. People assume it's some sort of minhag or chumrah or something of that nature. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So just go through what the isser is and then try to find what the possible heterim are, because not only are most people not makbid in chutz la'aretz, but many kashrus, most kashrus agencies aren't makbid on yashan, on having yashan flour in chutz la'aretz. What do we have to rely on historically? Why were people mekel? And obviously, as we're going through a lot of the reasons to be mekel, some of them are going to be limited to certain times in history and may no longer apply nowadays. And that's obviously very critical in terms of determining psak halacha. If the kulas are all based on the conditions of 19th century Russia, maybe the conditions in 19th century Russia are not quite the same as 21st century five towns. Right, it's possible. It's possible that it's not the same as 19th century Russia. So I just want to go through the sugya a little bit. Also, one of the other reasons I chose this, besides the fact that it's Chodesh Nisan, is that it is a ksubis related sugya. The major kasha that everyone asks in the sugya is a kasha that we saw when we were learning ksubis taf tes. So we have some little bit of ksubis today for those who voted for Gemara. At least you get something, a little bit of chazara of daf tes with a little bit extra, a little bit more sources that maybe we didn't see when we learned ksubis daf tes. So let's start at the beginning. There's a pasuk in the Torah, Vayikra perachav gimel pasuk yadal, v'lechem v'kali v'charma lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh, at haviyachem es karban elokechem chukas olam l'darosechem b'chol moshvo sechem, that you're not allowed to eat the grains until this day, the day where you bring the karban. Karban being referred to is the karban omer. The day therefore being referred to is what day? Second day of Pesach, right? That's when we bring the karban omer. That's when Sfiras HaOmer counts, starting from the karban omer. That's why Sfiras HaOmer bizman hazeh is only Dirabanan we paskin. It's not Midaraisa, because we don't have the karban omer anymore. That's why right after we count Sfira, what's the first thing we say right after Sfira? Harachman Riyachlan Asavos Besamuz Mekom Meherbi Amenu. Right? We right away say Harachman that we should have the Beis HaMikdash back. It's always nice to daven to have the Beis HaMikdash back. Why right after the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer? Because the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer that we have nowadays is a shell of the original mitzvah. It is only Dirabanan, the original mitzvah. There's a mitzvah Da'oraisa. We no longer get the opportunity to do the mitzvah Da'oraisa because we don't have the karban omer. Sfira is very much connected to the karban omer. That's why there's halacha l'maisa nafkamina, is the fact that sfira is Dirabanan. Just parenthetically, just to mention, the fact that we can be yotze sfira omer ben hashmashos is based on savik Dirabanan l'kula. Right, so if you daven, let's say, at a 7:10 mincha minyan tonight, and they daven marav at 7:25, 7:30, and they finish marav at 7:40, and they count sfira, then seisa kuchavim is not till 8:07 or so, and yet you're going to be counting sfira at 7:40. That's during the ben hashmashos period. It's because it's the rabbanan that we allow for that. Now, l'chadchila, it would be best to count later, but if you're not going to count at Mariv, it's very likely you're not going to count at all, and therefore you're allowed to count even during Ben HaShemashos, because it's a din d'rabban. That's also the Rav Shumrach has in the Tshuva, he says that you should, when people say the Hinni Muchan before Sfira, he says it's a little misleading to say it. You're going to say that I'm about to be Mekayim Mitzvah Sfira Omer, Kemo Shekasav HaTorah, and then you say the Pesukim that it says in the Torah. He says, no, you're not. We're not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Kemo Shekasav HaTorah. We're going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Sfira Somer Midrabanan. Not at all Kemo Shekasav HaTorah. He suggests you should change the Nusach. you should say that I'm going to be mekayim this of Sfiras HaOmer. Shene'emar, don't say Kamosha Kasa B'Torah. Say Shene'emar, and just quote the pasuk, but don't say that I'm about to do it the way it's written in the Torah. But anyway, that's all based on the Karban Omer. The Karban Omer is born on the second day of Pesach. So we're used to the din of Sfiras HaOmer relating to the Karban Omer, but this is another din d'oraisa relating to the Karban Omer. That's when the grains become mutter. Any grain that existed before that was Aser. Shouldn't say that existed. Any grain from that year before that was Aser. Now it becomes Mutter through the bringing of the Karban Omer. Now just to get it very clear, what that means is that any grain that, let's say planted, even though it's a little more complicated than that, any grain that's planted starting now, after Pesach, or after the second day of Pesach, is even if it could be harvested in a month from now, we will not be allowed to eat it until next year, second day of Pesach. Once next year, the second day of Pesach comes, all those old grains become mutter. People who are a makbid to only have yashan, this is their favorite time of year, because they don't have to ask any kashas now. Anything that they could find in stores now, the second day of Pesach has passed since that stuff was planted. They could be certain of that, because anything that's been planted since the second day of Pesach at this point is certainly not in the stores yet. Right? It's certainly not in their pizza yet. So people who are makbid and yashan, this time of year is the perfect time where they could be, let their guard down a little bit and be a lot more makbid. But that's the halacha, the basic halacha of the Isra of Chadash. So the first issue to deal with is, okay, maybe, because just like Sfiras HaOmer is connected to the Beis HaMikdash and the Karban Omer, so Chadash also seems to be connected to the Karban Omer. Karban Omer makes it mutter. So maybe without the Karban Omer, without a Beis HaMikdash, maybe there's no Isra of Chadash b'zman hazeh. So that is dealt with right away in the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah tells us all the takanos that were made after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed as a way of doing a Zecher L'Churban, as a way of remembering the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed, Barishona ha'yilulav nital b'mikdash shiva b'medina yom echad. It used to be that lulav would be taken in the Mikdash, which the Rambam understands means the entire Ir HaAtikah, it would be taken for 7 days, and outside of the Makom HaMikdash it would only be taken for 1 day. Mishachar HaBeis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai she'lulav nital b'medina shiva. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was misaking that we take lulav for all 7 days, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we in fact do. Our taking lulav, days 2 through 7, is purely midrabanan, a takanos Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Zecher the Mikdash. And then, that's the part of the Mishnah we always remember. But then the Mishnah adds in one more line, v'sheyom anayf kulo aser, that the day of the bringing of the Karban Omer, of the waving, is aser. That entire day is aser. Meaning, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, as soon as that Karban was brought, you could eat the new grains, the grains from the previous year. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, that Karban Omer is never going to be brought. So what, it's going to be aser forever? You're never going to be able to eat any grain? No, we never heard of such a thing. When does the grain become mutter? After that entire day is over. Once that whole day, what day? The second day of Pesach is entirely over, that's when you're allowed to eat the new grains from that year, from the previous year. Only once the second day of Pesach is over. So that was the takana from Yochanan Zakkai. Now, takana implies that there's a din d'oraisa. That's different than the takana. What is the din d'oraisa? Midoraisa, if you just read the pasuk, when is it that the grain is mutter? So just read the pasuk. Go back to the pasuk. What does it say? When are you allowed to eat it? Until when? When is it aser? Until? So what does the pasuk say? So pasuk says till you bring the carbon, but before it said till you bring the carbon, it said something else. And that's a yom hazeh. It gave two dates. It said ad etzav yom hazeh and ad haviyachem es karban elokeichem. So the way the Gemara understands that is, if you're going to be able to bring the karban because you have a Beis HaMikdash, then the karban is matir. When you bring the karban, that's going to be matir the chadash. But if you're going to be living in a time where there is no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you're not going to be able to bring the karban, what's going to be matir the grain? What's going to allow you to eat the chadash? Etzem hayom, the very arrival of the day. Arrival of the day, not departure of the day. The beginning of the day of the second day of Pesach, that alone would be matir. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai came along and was misakein. No, the entire second day of Pesach is still going to be yasser. You have to wait until the second day of Pesach is over. Frak the Gemara, why would he make such a takana for 24 hours? What's the point? Why make such a takana that the whole second day should be asr? Just make it that it's that the beginning of the day is mutter, like the Torah says. Why would you make such a takana that the whole second day is going to be asr? So the Gemara says, because he knew that Be'ez Hashem, very soon the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. And if this year people start eating their chadash right away in the morning of the second day of Pesach, then you know what's going to happen? Next year we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. And everyone's going to say, oh yeah, we know the halacha. You're allowed to eat the chadash right when you wake up in the morning on the second day of Pesach. It's already mutter. But they're not going to realize that it's only mutter in the morning when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Once you have a Beis HaMikdash, it's not mutter in the morning. Once you have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait for the Karban Omer. So that's why he made a takana, that he doesn't want people to get confused that first year that we have a Beis HaMikdash and think back to what they did the previous year. So he said, just make the whole day asr. And that way, we're able to play it safe. So the Gemara is, you know, the Gemara goes a little back and forth. Well, when exactly are we concerned that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt? If it's built on that day, well then, anyway, it was already mutter by morning time. So it must be they were concerned that it was going to be rebuilt the day before. Whatever it is, but that's just details. But the bottom line is, the halacha, clearly, the way the Gemara is understanding is that the pasuk itself is describing to us what to do when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Which tells you that even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, not only does it apply, but it's still a din d'oraisa. It's not even a drabanan. Right? The way they're teaching the pasuk gives two zmanim for when the chadash is mutter. One for when there is a Beis HaMikdash, one for when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Makes it very clear that even bizman hazeh, chadash is d'oraisa. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a kasha in the back of that Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, you know, the Gemara Nida tells us that mitzvahs betelos las lavo, that las lavo, we're not going to have mitzvahs anymore. So how can you say mitzvahs betelos las lavo if you're going to say that we're worried what's going to happen las lavo with the chadash? We're not going to have mitzvahs anymore. What do we have to worry about? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is mechalik between Yimos HaMashiach and las lavo. The term las lavo could mean a lot of different things. That's a different shir for a different time, not for right now. So the first thought of a heter is out the window. The first thought of a heter that maybe chadash is not a problem because of we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, it's beferish in the pasuk, not that way. Pasuk says even without the Beis HaMikdash, chadash is still a problem, and at least the way the Gemara understands the pasuk. So that is not going to be a heter. What's the next thought of a heter? Well, Jews in Eretz Yisrael, for the most part, shouldn't make general statements, I guess, but I think there's a much, much higher percentage of Jews in Eretz Yisrael who are makbid to only have yashan, not to eat chadash, than the percentage of religious Jews in America who are makbid to only have yashan, not chadash. So that leads you to believe that maybe this is an Eretz Yisrael versus America thing. Maybe this is Lav Dafka America, an Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. Although we'll soon see, maybe it is Dafka America or further places far away, like Russia, things like that. Maybe a Middle Eastern minhag would be to observe the halacha of chadash. We'll have to get into that soon. But that's the next thought, is maybe in Chutz La'aretz the law doesn't apply. Now in general, which halachas are limited to Eretz Yisrael, which halachas apply even in Chutz La'aretz? Right, we know. Matzah, you eat even in Chutz La'aretz. Tefillin, you wear even in Chutz La'aretz. Chumas Maestros, Dafka Eretz Yisrael. Shemitah, Eretz Yisrael. Shemitah's karka now. Shemitah's ksafim is a different issue. Right? Dafka Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah's karka. So what's the common themes? It's a Mishnah Kiddushin. Mishnah Kiddushin tells us, it's very, very straightforward. Kol mitzvah shi tuluya ba'aretz, any mitzvah that's agricultural in nature, any mitzvah that's about the land, so ein noheges el ba'aretz, it's about the land. It's about the land of Eretz Yisrael. Agricultural mitzvahs are limited to Eretz Yisrael, do not apply in Chutz La'aretz. V'she'ena tuluya ba'aretz, noheges bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. But things that are not agricultural mitzvahs apply both in Eretz Yisrael as well as Chutz La'aretz. So sounds great, right? Sounds like chadash should only be in Eretz Yisrael. Chadash is certainly agricultural, isn't it? Right? It's something that's tuluya ba'aretz. It's grain that grows from the ground. That grain is going to be asur until a certain karban. Sounds like a mitzvah tuluya ba'aretz. Says the Tanakhama, chutz min ha'orlo klayim. Orl and klayim are the only two exceptions. Orl and klayim are asur even in chutz la'aretz, even though they're agricultural in nature. But chadash is not an exception. Tanakhama, very clear, chadash is going to be okay in chutz la'aretz. No problem now. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af ha'chadash. Rabbi Lezer says not so fast. There's another exception, and that is Chadash. Mental note, you got to take care of that also. See if it works. I doubt it. Rabbi Lezer says Chadash is also something that's going to be Asr and Chutz Laretz. Kalei Psak. Let's see if we learned anything this year. My children, whenever we have Rabbi Eliezer and Mishnais that we learn, they say, oh, we don't paskin that way. Why do we not paskin that way when we have Rabbi Eliezer? Because the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Eliezer, Shamuteyu. Right? So we're not going to paskin like him. We're never going to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So you think we're in good shape over here. Chadash and Chutz Laretz should be totally mutter. That's our heter. One big problem, and that is the Mishnah in Arla. If that were the only Mishnah, if the only Mishnah we had was the Mishnah in Kiddushin, we'd be in good shape. We'd have Machlokas, Tanakama, and Reb Lazar, and we'd pass like the Tanakama, Klal Yapsak. Tell us we're supposed to pass like the Tanakama. It would be great. Chadash would not be a problem in Chutz Laretz at all. Says the Mishnah in Arla, HaChadash Asur Min HaTorah B'Kol Makom. Chadash is Asur Mido Raisa everywhere. That's a problem. That's a Stam Mishnah. Tells us it's Asr even with Chutz Laretz. Where did the Mishnah get it from? So if you notice, in the Pasuk, I italicized two words in that Pasuk. What does the Pasuk tell us? That you're not allowed to eat Chadash until the bringing of the Korban Omer or until the Etzem Hayom. Chukas Olam L'Dor HaSeichem. This is an everlasting law. Bechol Moshvo Seichem. Everywhere. Which begs the question, how could anyone argue? The Tanakama possibly say that Chadash is mutter in Chutz Laretz, says b'feirish, b'chol moshvel seichem. So Tanakama will understand that that's referring to grain that's exported from Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, dikur grain that's brought to Chutz Laretz, is aser even in Chutz Laretz until the second day of Pesach. But grain that grew in Chutz Laretz, Tanakama will say is mutter. Right? So Tanakama will say b'chol moshvel seichem does not tell you that this is not a mitzvah t'liyah ba'aretz. It is a mitzvah t'liyah ba'aretz. And grain that grows, just like anything else, just like when you go to Costco, you have to be careful. You go to Costco and you buy peppers. I'm sure many of your families shop in Costco and will buy these beautiful looking red peppers, yellow peppers, green peppers, and sometimes, very often, I think right now, they're Eretz Yisrael peppers, and you need to take Trumas and Maestros. So it's a very important idea, very important thing. I got a Shaila Erev Yantif, someone called. They made two large pots of pepper steak. And then they just realized that they got their peppers at Costco. So what do? So you say just take some of the peppers out, right? And take out as Shumas and Maestros. Gave tam into the whole steak also. Right? It's tam of tevel into the whole thing. So you have to take some of the steak out also. So you mafresh. Okay, so we're mafresh even in that situation. We'll be mafresh from what was already done. But you have to realize that you would have really soon to deal with. So we would have to check our grain in Costco also. Make sure that it's not our Yisrael grain. Right? Mistam, it's not. You wouldn't have to check, because it's not. We're not going to import grain from Yisrael. Peppers, oranges, certain things we import. I'm sure we don't import grain from Yisrael. There's enough of that in America. But anyway, so that's how the Tanakama would understand. So now, it's no longer just Tanakama against Reb Lazar. It's Tanakama versus Reb Lazar and a Mishnah in Arla. So that leads you to believe that maybe a Stam Mishnah would be the halacha, that we should paskin that Chadash is Asr, even in Chutz Laretz. And in fact, if you look at the Rambam, source number 5, the Rambam Hilchos Machol Surus Perek Yud Halacha Beis, HaChadash Ketzad, Kol Echad Michamisha Minei Tevua, Bilvad Asr Lechol Me'achadash Shalo, Kodim Sheikrav Omer Petes Zayin Benisan, any of the five grains, you're not allowed to eat any of the new grains until the second day of Pesach. Shnemar v'lechem v'kali v'chamar lo sochlu. V'kala ochel k'zayis chadash kodem akravas ha'omer lokem min ha'torah b'kol makom u'b'kol zman. And in case that's not clear, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, bein b'fnei ha'bayis, bein shalo b'fnei ha'bayis. The Rambam very clearly paskins against the Tanakama. He paskins like Reb Lazar, he paskins like the Mishnah in Arla. Chadash is asr even in Chutz Laretz, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Basically, we're digging ourselves a deeper and deeper hole. We've got problems if we're not observing the laws of Chadash and Yashan based on this. So you say, okay, that's the Rambam. What about the Shulchan Aruch? Says the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Simen Tav Pei Tes, which is where you could find all the halachas of Sfira, Sa'omer also, says the Shulchan Aruch, well, the halachas of Sfira, not the halachas of the Avelus, that's Tav Tzadik Gimel, okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, Asu Lechol Chadosh Af Bizman Hazeh, you're not allowed to eat Chadosh even Bizman Hazeh, Bein Lechem Ben Kali Ben Karmel, Ad Chilas Lel Yud Ches B'Nisan, Uberetz Yisrael, Ad Chilas Lel Yud Zayin B'Nisan. We have to wait until the beginning of the night of the 18th of Nisan. We have to wait not till the second day is over, but till the third day is over. Why? It's Sfeika D'Yoma. Same reason we keep 2 days of Yantif. So we keep an extra day of Nisra Chadash. But what's he assuming? The one day is not going to kill us, right? That's not what bothers us. What really bothers us is the whole din, the whole idea that we have this din. Shulchan Aruch is very clear. The din, does it apply in Chutz La'aretz? Yes, it applies in Chutz La'aretz. It even goes a day later in Chutz La'aretz. But absolutely it applies in Chutz La'aretz. Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Yardeya, Simrei Sadi Gimel, Isra, Chadash, Noeg, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'Chutz La'aretz, Bein B'Shal Yisrael, Bein B'Shal Ovid Chachamim. Doesn't matter if it's Jewish on land, non-Jewish on land, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, B'fnei Abayis, Shalom B'fnei Abayis, it's all Aser. Everything's Aser. Chadash is Aser. As clear as could be in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Well, it was grain, yeah.
So are you allowed to take like grains from outside and use that as a carbon?
Are you allowed to take grain
from outside Israel?
Ah, so we can get to this. The Gemara Menachos talks about this. Is the carbon omer only kosher? Where are you going with that? If you can only bring it from grain, Eretz Yisrael dika grain, then you're going to say that it must be that the whole din is only Eretz Yisrael dika grain. Okay, we'll see if that's necessarily a connection. That's one of the possibilities we're going to have to look at. Good. Okay. Anyway, so the Rambam is pretty clear. Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear. There is an Isra of Chadash. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 8, in Yardei Reish Sadi Gimel, Siv Hei, Yesh Mir Rav Asinu Rishonim Shepaskul HaAlacha DeChadash B'Chutz La'aretz D'Rabbanan. The first thing we need to do, before we can't just get rid of Chadash, but what we're going to have to do is first to say, okay, you know what? Maybe it's not the Oraisa. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch says Aser, Ram says Aser, Rabbi Lazar says Aser, the Mishnah says Aser Min HaTorah, right? But maybe many of those who are saying that it's Aser, maybe it's really only Aser Midrabanan. How would that help us to say it's Aser Midrabanan? When I order a slice of pizza, I don't know where that grain is from, when that grain is from. It may be Chadash, maybe Yashan. Savik Rabbanan, Lukula. Now, it's not that pashut, because sometimes it's like a 50-50, and sometimes it's like definitely, you know, it's a large majority that would be Yashan. People who observe, who are careful about this halacha, you know when the numbers flip in one direction or the other, depending on the time of year and where the grain generally typically will be coming from. Question? No? So says Aruch HaShulchan, you should know there are Rishonim that holds the Rabbanim. So you're waiting. Who are these Rishonim? Okay, let's hope we get our Rashi and a Riff and a right. So who does he say? Ve'eluhim, listen to these Rishonim. Rabbeinu Baruch Bal Hatrumos, Hevi'or Rash. The Rash quotes the Bal Hatrumos. Ha'ar Zerua, if you're Trumas Deshin, Trumas Deshin quotes the Ar Zerua, V'riva Balatosos, and Rabbeinu Avigdor, and Maharam Mi'il Tzedek, V'chein Nirim Mitivrei Ravon. Sounds like a tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef, no? When, like, he wants to shake out every Rishon that ever said something that, I mean, no disrespect, these are Rishonim, but it doesn't lead you to believe that was the widely accepted opinion in Rishonim when you're saying, I found Rishonim that hold this way, Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Balatrumos. And come on, if it's a really widely accepted view in Rishonim, I want a Rashba, I want a Ritva, I want a Rush, I want a, you know what I'm saying? There are the major Rishonim and then the more minor Rishonim. It sounds that the major accepted view in Rishonim is not this way, but he's trying to kvetch out a heter. So in order to kvetch out a heter, he needs to find Shitos and Rishonim, and he digs and digs and finds all of these Rishonim. Makes it sound like a very impressive group of Rishonim, a large group of Rishonim, that all hold that it's okay. That it's only, not that it's okay, that it's only Aser Midrabanan. It's not going to solve all the world's problems. It's only going to solve a Suffolk problem. But to make it only Aser Midrabanan, Continues to quote. Then he says, "Mikol makom, even though it's only midrabanan." He says, even though it's only drabban, mikol makom anshei meisa machmirin. People who are more stringent in halacha are machmir about this. Good. So he says, but since you see so many rishonim that hold it's drabbanan, it could be that it is drabbanan. And he starts tumulting with the girsa in the Mordechai, that someone quotes the Mordechai, one of the rishonim quotes the Mordechai as saying that it's only drabbanan. He says, in my Mordechai it says daraisa, but all the girsos are messed up in the Mordechai anyway, so probably our girsa is wrong, and you have to assume that the rishon who's quoting the Mordechai has it right and we have it wrong. I mean, he's really reaching to try to find as many rishonim as he possibly can that are going to hold that chadash is midrabanan. And how could you possibly say that? It's against the clear Mishnah in Maseches Arla. Yeah, we paskin against that Mishnah, Maseches Arla, that we're going to paskin like the Shita of the Tanakama, that we're not going to paskin like Rabbi Lazar, and who's in line with Mishnah in Arla. We're going to paskin like the Tanakama, who's against that Mishnah in Arla. Good, so that's what you get from the Aruch HaShulchan. The other possible raya is along with the lines of what Jake was saying before. The Mishnah Maseches Menachos says that kol korbanos hatzibur vayachid boyim min haaretz umichutz laaretz, all korbanos hatzibur and korbanos hayachid could come from both Eretz Yisrael and chutz laaretz min hachadosh min hayashan chutz min haomer b'shtei alechem shein banel min hachadosh min haaretz. Except for the korban omer and shtei alechem has to come from Eretz Yisrael. It also has to come from Chadosh, but it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara seems to assume, in source number 10, that there is some sort of relationship, that there's a connection between what can be used for the Karban Omer and what types of grains are usur in the first place. It's not 100% clear in the Gemara, but the Gemara seems to assume such a connection. If there is such a connection, then this Mishnah might also be telling me that Chadash and Chutz Laaretz is not Midoraisa. That at least maybe it's only Midrabbanan. Because if you're going to say that you can only, that you're only allowed to bring the Karban Omer from grain that is covered under the Yisur of Chadash, and the grain for the Karban Omer has to be from Eretz Yisrael, so the Yisur Doraisa of Chadash would then be not from grain that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, only on grain that's from inside of Eretz Yisrael. So that might be a raya that we paskin like the Tanakama, that Chadash is only Asur Midrabanan, not Midoraisa in Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, if you're not sure, if you have a suffix, what do? Suffix Drabanan Lakula. If you were told that way. Now, if you assume that it's Doraisa, is there any heter then? If you assume Chadash is Doraisa, for us to be Makel when we don't know? So there is a Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin says, even if it's Daraisa, we have a Heter. Tosfos assumes it's Daraisa. And Tosfos in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav, says, Umisafek ein lasar kol ha-sa'orim, kiven derov ha-sa'orim nizru kodem tazayin b'nisan. Tosfos says, it's not a Safek, it's a Rov. When you go into a pizza shop and you order a slice of pizza, most of the time, the grain was planted before tazayin nisan. And therefore, it was covered by this year's Karban Omer, by this year's second day of Pesach, and therefore it's okay. You can rely on a rove. It's not a suffix. Now again, the rove that Tosla says is assuming that it's a rove. If we have statistics that tell us that our rove is wrong, again, right now, right after Pesach, it's for sure a rove. It's more than a rove. It's 99.99% of all grain, 100% of all grain that exists in the world right now, obviously was planted before the second day of Pesach this year. So right now, we're for sure good. But in 6 months from now, is it going to be a rove? In 3 months from now, maybe it will still be a rove, let's say. 6 months still going to be a rove? 9 months from now, it's going to be a rove? 10 months? 11 months? It's probably a rove in the other direction. It's at the very least a suffix. Most likely a rove in the other direction. So it's nice to say, you see, Tosfos is Makil. He says we can rely on the rove. Rove of the time, Chadash. It's not Chadash anyway. Most of the time it's Yashan. But that's a Matthias issue. In Tosfos, where the Balei Tosfos were living and the grain that was available to them, yeah, most of the time, maybe that was true. That's the Matthias that they clarified. But that's not going to help us necessarily. It may help us for a few months. It's not going to help us for the whole year. So we need to find a kula. We need to find what it is that the whole world is somech on. So there are several kulas suggested. The Taz, Simon Reish Sadi Gimel in Yerodea, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but certain segments, says the Taz, says, Ein ze kedai mi lahatzil al sha'anu ro'in chach mei Yisrael kimat rubam ein yisar mechadish b'shem shada. What's the first excuse everyone has why we're not makbid? Well, the rabbis aren't makbid. So says the Taz, I don't want to hear what the rabbis do. Don't tell me about the rabbis not being makbid. V'lo shayich lomar aleya mutav yushogim. And don't say, well, you know what? Sometimes when people are making a mistake, what are we going to do? You're all going to go home and say, Mom, Dad, we have to be makbid on Yashan. And they're going to say, yeah, right, whatever. So, what, do I want to inform them that there is the Sisa Daraisa if they're only going to continue to violate the Aveira? Now they're going to be doing it amazing. Before they even heard of Yashan, or they thought Yashan was a brisker chumra, and they didn't realize that it was Din Daraisa, so they were shogeg. Now I'm going to make them amazing. Says the Taz, no, we don't apply Mutav Shiyu Shogim Vali Mazidim to something like this. We don't apply Mutav Shiyu Shogim. Did we discuss this at some point this year? We don't apply Mutav Shiyu Shogim Vali Mazidim to Dinim Daraisa that are Mufurish in the Pasuk. Because you don't assume that people are a Shogim, yeah? Mutav Shiyu Shogim Vali Yuhu Mazidim. Better let the people do the Aveira B'Shogim rather than educate them and then have them do the Aveira B'Mazid. Right? They're not going to listen anyway. They're going to then do the Aveira B'Mazid. So he says, I don't buy it. The Taz is like, that can't be our big excuse for giving Ashkacha on Chadash. He says, V'anu ein lanu esek b'zeh afim hayelanu pirish nachon al Yerushalmi. So he quotes his father-in-law has a Yerushalmi. He says, I can't get involved in Yerushalmis. We don't even have a good commentary on the Yerushalmi. We don't even know what the Yerushalmi is talking about half the time. So don't bring me riots from Yerushalmis. But he says, in the fifth line or so, I'll give you a good heter. The Isser of Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is a machlokas Tanaim like we saw. It's a machlokas Tanakam and Reb Lazer. Tanakam is the one that held that we're good, that there is no Isser of Chadash and Chutz La'aretz. It's only Reb Lazer holds that it's an Isser of Chadash. Aye, there's a mission in Or that supports Reb Lazer, right? But he said, notice the Gemara never says we pass him like Reb Lazer. The Gemara never says Hilsa Reb Lazer. Gemara just leaves it. It's a machlokas tanaim, without the Gemara ever arriving at a halachic conclusion how to pass it. So says the Taz, v'hayu lanu lomar da halacha k'tana kama. The Tana Kama, the Rav Lazer, the Yachav Rabban Lach Karabim. We paskin whenever you have Tana Kama against Rav Lazer, you paskin like the Rabbim. Tana Kama is the Rabbim, Stam Mishnah. You're going to paskin like the Tana Kama against Rav Lazer. Ah, what about the Mishnah in Arla? He says, what's the rule? When you have a Stam Mishnah that says one way, and then you have a Machlokas in another Mishnah. So what's the rule in Psak? So it depends which came first. If in a single Masechta, let's say, you have a Machlokas, and then later on you have a Stam Mishnah. Machlokas v'achar kach Stam, the halacha is Kistam. Because we assume Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, look, this was a debate. By the time I got here, it's been resolved. We paskin this way. And he put it as a Stam Mishnah. When you have a Stam v'achar kach machlokes, we don't paskin like the Stam necessarily. Stam v'achar kach machlokes means, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was writing and he said, okay, this was a Stam Mishnah, this is a Shita that I know about. And then by the time he was writing the later Mishnah, it came to his attention that there was another Shita that he was unaware of earlier. So another Shita came into the picture. That doesn't tell you that he paskins against that Shita. The fact that he wrote a Stam 6 months ago just means he didn't know 6 months ago when he wrote the Stam Mishnah about this second Shita. If it's a Stam and then a Machlokes, you don't necessarily paskin like the Stam. Stam Mishnah is not the end all be all. Stam Mishnah is only if the Stam comes last. Well, what comes last over here? We can't answer that question, what comes last, because it doesn't go in the order of Shas. When Rabbi Yehuda Anasi learnt Shas, it wasn't in the same order that he organized, that Shas has been organized. He may have learnt Nida before he learned Brachos. So we don't know when he learnt what. Now, it would be advantageous for us to say it's in the exact order that we have it, then Arla would be the Stam first. Arla is in Zrayim, right? So that would be the Stam, and then the Machlokas would be later in Seder Nashim. That would be great in Kiddushin. That would be great. That would tell us that we don't necessarily pass on. Stam Taz says, we don't know. We don't know. It could be, but it could be that he learned Arla later. We don't know when he learned Arla, when he learned Kiddushin. But don't tell me that we have to pass on like a Stam just because it's a Stam Mishnah. It's at least a Suffolk. It's at least a Suffolk, whether it's a Stam Vachach Machlokas or it's a Machlokas Vachach Stam. So what do you do if it's Suffolk? Well, this brings us back to, is it Rabban or is it Daraisa? If it's Daraisa, Suffolk isn't going to help us. So says the Taz, Suffolk can help you even on a Daraisa sometimes. Sometimes you could be making on a Suffolk Daraisa. When? When it's a major Shas Adchak. When people would starve to death. So he says, V'im Kein Yishlanu Ladin V'lomar, maybe we could suggest, Di Medinos Elu Shu Shas Adchak, Di Chayiv Shal Adam Tolui B'Shtiyas Sheikhar Sa'orim V'Shibol Shual, people would die without beer. That's what he says. Kedaihu Atanakama, we can, the Tanakama is significant enough, Lismo Chalav V'Shas Adchak, Kivan Dolo Ifsika Halacha B'Ferish B'Gemara Krav Lazer. We have a concept called, not Suffolk Daraisa Lakula, there's no such concept, Suffolk Daraisa is still a Chumrah, but we have a concept called Kedaihu Lismo Chalav B'Shas Adchak. That an opinion that would normally be rejected for a Shas Adchak we accept. And he shows that in two places in Shas where that phrase, and I'm not going to get to everything inside, but two places in Shas where that phrase, Kedaihu Lismo Chalav B'Shas Adchak, appears, it's to go with the Das Yachid against the Rabbin. That Kedaihu Rabbi Shimon Lismoch Chalav B'Shas Adchak is when it's against the Rabbin. What's the rule when you have a Yachid against the Rabbin? How do you paskin? The rule says go with the Rabbin. Shas Adchak is enough to tell you could follow the Yachid. If it's Shas Adchak, you could follow a rejected opinion. So says the Taz, I don't know if the Tanakhama is a rejected opinion or not. I don't know if it's a Stam Varchach Machlokas. Machlokas Varchach Stam. Even if it were a rejected opinion, Shas Adchak we could be making. But I'm not even convinced it is a rejected opinion. It's a suffix by me whether it's a rejected opinion or not. I don't know. So for sure you could be making the Shas Adchak. And especially since the opinion that we're relying on Shas Adchak is not a Das Yachid, it's the Rabbim, it's a Tanakhama. Which is a Rabbim, we assume that's a Chachamim. It's not just one opinion. So for sure, he says, considering that it's a Shas Adchak, says the Taz, for sure we could be Somech. What about those people who've been Machmir? Why aren't they Somech? He says, must have not been a Shas Adchak for everybody. He says, but I know the Metzius, where I live, is that it's a Shas Adchak. And therefore we have what to be Makel with. So again, that's great for the Taz. Taz can go and eat Chadash, enjoy himself. That's fantastic. But does that help us? There are, five pizza shops in the five towns? Only two of them have Yashan, I think. Something like that. So, what? Is that a Shas Adchak? The pizza tastes like cardboard. I don't know if that's a Shas Adchak, right? I don't know if the pizza tastes like cardboard. I don't even know which pizza shops it is. I don't mean to negative advertise or whatever. But I'm just saying, is it really such a Shas Adchak for us? Not so impossible. It's possible to observe Chadba. So if the Taz is our Kula, I don't know that we have so much to rely on. Yeah.
That's
what apparently that was like all they drank. They didn't have soda. So maybe if we didn't have soda and all we had, and we didn't have orange juice, or apple juice, and it was either water or beer, so then maybe it would be a Shas Adchak. They didn't have water?
That's why they drank wine back in the day also. Water was so good to drink just alone.
Oh, really?
That's why they
fermented with beer?
They drank more wine.
Didn't know that. Okay. Did you know?
They really needed
the beer. It wasn't, right. It wasn't stop. It wasn't just for football Sundays. The beer was a necessity. Okay. So that's the Taz. Needless to say, Achronim are not also thrilled with the Taz. Shach, Magen Avraham, whatever, Bir Agra, not the Magen Avraham, Shach, the Bir Agra, reject this Kula of the Taz. Next Kula. Magen Avraham quotes a sheet of Rabbeinu Baruch, and the Aruch HaShulchan also quotes this, that it's possible, and they have rayas to this, it sounds like a wild shita, that maybe even when you say the Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz, it's only in the Aratzos HaSmuchos. It's only in those parts of Chutz La'aretz that are close to Eretz Yisrael. But very far away from Eretz Yisrael, or not even necessarily far away, north of Eretz Yisrael, the way the Magen Avraham says it is, in colder climates, where it's impossible to plant grain earlier, so maybe in such places, there is no Isser of Chadash. Maybe the Isser of Chadash, what he's suggesting is as follows. The Isser of Chadash is only Shayach when it's possible to have Yashan. But when Yashan is an impossibility, because nothing can get planted that early, because it's freezing in March, and you can't plant then, so maybe in those climates there's no Isser of Chadash. That's what he wants to suggest, that's what he quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Rishonim. Now, needless to say, it's one sheet in Rishonim. The Rayos are not particularly strong. We're not going to get into them because I want to get to the Rama also, but if you look at the Rayos, you'll see the Magen Avraham himself deals with the Rayos, rejects them. The Aruch HaShulchan deals with the Rayos and rejects them. So, whatever it is, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what? I don't need to find the world's biggest heter. I need to find a sniff right now. And what I'm going to do, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is I'm going to find all the bad heterim, put them together, and when you put all the bad heterim together, maybe you have a good heter. Right? When you put them all together, so if you have a sniff here, a sniff there, that's the way halacha works sometimes. You come up with different sniffim lahakel. So he says, that's a sniff, I'm okay with it. Right? If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Reish Sadi Gimel Siv Chav Beis, at the end he says, "Ubevadai shein livnos yisod nechon al zeh, built yiraya gemura." Now, I certainly wouldn't build my whole foundation of a psak on this, but a little sniff bialma omakein. But as a sniff, you could say, there's a little extra kula to throw in there. It's sad lahakel. The Bach, I didn't put it, you know, I meant to put the Ramal last, but I didn't by accident. The Bach has another kula. The Bach suggests that any land that's owned by non-Jews, there's no Isser of Chadash. That would be a huge kula for us. That any land owned by non-Jews, that would be a tremendous kula, right? Because in America, Mistama, most of the farmers, most of the place where we get our grain, Mistama is owned by non-Jews. That's probably definitely a rove. So if the Bach is correct, now again, it's against Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch said whether it's owned by a Jew or a non-Jew, it's against the Rambam. But the Bach wants to suggest that maybe that land owned by non-Jews would not be a problem. And he goes through, he says, you know, when I was learning the Sugya, I spoke to, he said, 30 years ago when I learned Kiddushin, it's unclear exactly, I guess he didn't do a Daf Yomi cycle, he said, 30 years ago when I was learning Kiddushin, I went through this Inyan, and I spoke to the Gedolim at the time, and they were moda to me that I had a good Taina. Okay, whatever it is, there are Rayas back and forth. Again, we don't have time to get into all the Rayas. Chassidim have a Kabbalah, some sort of Mesorah, that the Bach, the Baal Shem Tov heard a Bas Kol, that the halacha is like the Bach. If that's how you pass in halachas, so you pass it that way. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't say Jew, non-Jew. Right. No, within the Rambam, you're right. The Bach is saying his part within the Rambam, I think. Well, look at the Bach, source number 21. When we discuss for a Rav Paragud the Huchs Meiser Sheni, the Arla Noeg Af Bishal Goyim, the Gabe Chadash Lo Kasev. Right, I'm sorry. The Bach built his whole idea on the fact that the Rambam says by Arla that Arla applies even to non-Jews, grain owned by non-Jews or trees owned by non-Jews. But Chadash, he never mentions that it applies to non-Jews. He says, why does the Rambam leave it out? So it must be because it doesn't apply, right? It's all Raya from the Rambam. Alma the Bechadash ain't Yisuru, Ela B'shal Yisrael, Avlo B'shal Goy. Ela Shatoz B'Kedushin holds not that way, holds Af B'shal Goyim, fine. But he says he's building himself off of the Rambam. The Taz, as he typically does, says, my father-in-law has his heart in the right place. Taz is the son-in-law of the Bach. Says, my father-in-law has his heart in the right place. He means well, but he's wrong. And that it's not true. Taz writes, Ani omer nafsho betuv talin. He has his heart in the right place. Avlo dak bedvarim elu. But, you know, he wasn't really so careful in reading the sources properly. And he goes through each of the sources and he shows that none of them are really such a great raya. He says, Ela davar barer da'af b'shalov yitchav maser. It's a davar barer. It's absolutely clear that even chadash of a guy is aser. Good. So far we suggested the heter of the Taz, that it's maybe we pass on the Tanakama, b'shas adchak, k'day hu lismachla b'shas adchak. We pointed out that nowadays it's probably not such b'shas adchak. We pointed out the heter of the Magen Avram, Rabbeinu Baruch, that it's lands far away from Israel, and therefore we can be making lands far away from Israel. We pointed out that the Aruch HaShulchan says you can't build a heter on a shita like that. That it's not nearly enough to build a heter off of a shita like that. We pointed out the Bach, that land owned by non-Jews, rejected by the Taz, rejected by the Shach, rejected by the Bir Agra. It's been rejected by all of the later Achronim. A lot of them do not subscribe to the shita of the Bach. So what's the big heter? It's Ramah. Ramah. Says the Ramah. Source number 16. Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, Simon Reish Sadi Gimel, Si'if Gimel, says the Ramah, Umi kal makom kol stam tevua shari la'achar Pesach. Any regular stam tevua that you don't know anything about is mutter after Pesach, mikalach svek sveka. Because it's a svek sveka, safek hi mishana sha'avra, maybe this grain is from last year, in which case it's fine. V'imtim tzilom r'mishana zu, and even if this grain was from this year, dilma nishra shakadama omer, maybe it took root last year. And therefore it's svek sveka, you could be mekel. Maybe this grain was from last year, and even if it was from this year, maybe it took root last year. What's the obvious kasha? So we pointed out, Rabbi Kivega points out, that's not a svek sveka. That's one suffik that you just said in two different ways. That's like saying suffik, maybe it's from last year, and maybe it's not from this year. Right? That's the same suffix saying in two different ways. What does it mean it's from last year? Being from last year means it took root last year. So that's what the words mean. So you can say maybe it's from last year, and even if it was from this year, maybe it took root last year? What? Who cares that I cut it this year? If it took root last year, it's from last year. It's all one suffix. Shame on Eschadu, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. A term we're familiar with from Daftas. Shame on Eschadu. And it's all the same suffix. It's all one suffix. That's the kasha of the Kiva Eger, and all the Achronim ask on the Ramah. What kind of svek sveka is this? Yeah. Not always. No, you can't always find out. No, you can't always find out. Just you don't. You can go to the pizza store. You go. You know. You can call up Oreo and ask them the flour that went into their cookie. What year it was planted in? I don't think you're good. They try hard with customer service. I don't think they're going to try that hard. I don't know. What? Took root. Yeah, well, shortly after planting, a couple of days. Takes root. Yeah. So, I saw over Yontif that Rav Salvechik in Harei Kedem has a yishuv for this kash on the Ramah. Tries to be miyashiv the Ramah, why it really is two different sfeikos. Very charifus de gavart. It will take us the rest of Shiva to say it, but let's try to say it. The Gemara Menachos of Samach Tes raises the following shayla. Shibola shivya shlish kodem omer, v'shasa la'achar omer. Let's say you have a plant, grain, that grew to one third of its growth before the omer, then you uprooted it, and you replanted it again after the omer. Is it covered by the Karban Omer from this past year? You uprooted it. Now, it should have been, but you uprooted it and you replanted it. Does it start again? Does the clock start again? Is it considered that it was now planted brand new? And the Gemara says, Mahu, Basar Ikaraz Linon, Sharya Omer. Do we go after when it originally took root, which is okay, which would mean that the Karban Omer was Matirit? Adilma Basar Tosefes Az Linon. Or maybe we don't look at the original plant, we look at what's grown since then. And what's grown since then is after the Karban Omer, and therefore is Chadash, and there's a problem. Va'atshiyava Omer Abba, and therefore it's going to be Aser until next year's Karban Omer. why does the Gemara ask about a plant that grew to one third? Sheviya shlish. What should the Gemara have said? Shenishrusha, took root. Why do you have to say it grew to one third? I understand the Shaila. The Shaila is, did it mean, do we go buster the Iker? Do we go buster what's grown since then when you replanted it? Doesn't that Shaila apply if it just took root also? Why does it have to say that it grew one third of its growth? So that's the Kasha. Rashi over there apparently is bothered by that Kasha. And he says, Lahachi nakat shlish dechashiv gemar pri, that once it grows one third, that's called the gemar pri. That's called that the fruit is completely grown. Dimakami hachi akra, because if you uproot it before that, have you kashachas bialma v'lomahani omer lemishriya, then it's just like stubble on the ground and the omer won't help for it. Really? The omer doesn't help for something that took root and hasn't grown one third? Yes, it does. If you never uproot it, you have something growing in the ground before Pesach and it did not grow one third, but it did take root. Korban omer is matir it. For sure. I'm allowed to eat it this year. No doubt. So what's Rashi talking about? No, only if it grows a third, that's when the Korban omer is matir. That's not true. La halacha, that's not true. So what's Rashi talking about? What's this one third? What's this all about? So says Rav Soloveitchik there at Tzvei Dinim. Classic Brisker Chakira. Says there at Tzvei Dinim over here. You're right. Whether something only took root, or whether it grew a third, doesn't make a difference. After the second day of Pesach, it's mutter. Why is it mutter after the second day of Pesach? Is it mutter because it was yashan? I'm sorry, it was chadash before the second day of Pesach, and then the Korban omer was matirit? Or was it never even chadash to begin with? Two ways of looking at things. Something could be usher because it was usher and then it became mutter. Or something could be, I'm sorry, something could be mutter because it was usher and became mutter, or something could be mutter because it was never usher to begin with. Something that had grown one third of its growth before the Korban omer has a shame chadash. Comes the Korban omer and takes away the shame chadash. It's matir the yisr chadash. Something that didn't even grow to one third of its growth. It was just nishrash, took root. But it didn't even grow to one third of its growth before the Korban omer never even had a shame chadash. Without a gemar pri, it doesn't even have a shame. Is it mutter after the second day of Pesach? Yeah, you know why? Because it was never asr. Now, obviously, you're not going to eat roots. So it's not shayach and isr before Pesach anyway. I mean, what do you thought? It was just nishrash. Before it grows a shlish, you're not going to eat it anyway. Right? So it's not shaykh to eat it at that point. But if lu yitzuyu, or if it were possible to eat it and it were edible at that point, well then it would be called gemar pri. But you know what I'm saying? Like if it wouldn't be chadash. It's not, it doesn't have the isra of chadash. The isra of chadash doesn't take effect on it. And that's why it's mutter after the Korban omer. So when the Gemara talks about uprooting something, right? When the Gemara talks about uprooting something from the ground, if you look at the second to last paragraph there, in source number 18, Vashar al Kain Sfirle the Rashi Heter Zeshal Tvush and Nishrash Kodam Lomer, this heter of something that just took root in the ground and therefore was never chadash to begin with, Shaykh Dafka b'mechubar, that's only if it stays in the ground. Aval im akra, kvar azalagamri ashrasha kodam laomer. The fact that it was Nishrash kodam laomer doesn't help if you uprooted it. And then when you replant it, so now is going to be the time of the planting and the time of the rooting. So what does the Gemara do? The Gemara doesn't ask about it. It's something that took root in the ground and then you uprooted it and then replanted it after the Omer. No, the Gemara talks about what? Something that grew a third. Why? Because the Korban Omer is not matir something that just took root. It's only matir something that grew a third. Something that just took root, the Korban omer doesn't affect. It's just that it's called last year's stuff. It's just called last year's stuff. When's it called last year's stuff? If you left it in the ground since last year. But if you took it out of the ground since then and then replanted it, then it's no longer called last year's stuff. Now it's called this year's stuff. So that's why the Gemara Dafka has to come up with a case where it grew a third, where we're questioning the effectiveness of this year's Karban Omer on this produce. Yeah? But we're asking about the future, the further growth of it. If it's not replanted, it's not growing any further.
If it's edible now, you'd be still allowed to eat this plant if it's edible
right,
now to third.
Right.
But
the shaila is what grows afterwards. Right? If you never replant, then it's obvious that, yeah, it grew a third and the carbonoma was matir and it's totally fine. But if you replant it and now it grows more, is that called new growth or is that called old growth?
Okay.
Right? That was the Gemara shaila. But says Rav Soloveitchik, now that you have this understanding that chadash can become mutter either by being something that took root last year and therefore it's just not called this year's produce, it's called last year's produce, and you don't even need the carbon omer to be mounted to that, it's just called last year's produce because it took root last year, and then you have another hatter even on something that was chadash, that had a shame chadash, that the carbon omer is matirit. So now you understand the Ramas Svek Sveka. These are two totally different dinim. We're saying maybe it was, no, how did the Ramas say? Let's read it back into the Ramas. Safek hi mishana sha'avra. Maybe it was last year's produce. And even if it was this year's produce, maybe it was nishrasha kodem omer. Maybe it took root after the omer. What's he really saying? Safek whether this year's carbon omer was matirit. And even if this year's Karban Omer was matirit, maybe this year's Karban Omer didn't need to be matirit, because it was never chadash in the first place. So those are two separate isurim, two separate shemos. And therefore it could be called the Svek Sveka. That's, now, is it mishapech? Okay, that's a different issue. It's probably not mishapech. But at least on that level it could be called the Svek Sveka. Just one more, just to finish up, and I'll take questions. Halach lemaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan just says it's impossible to be machmir. It's just too difficult. Everyone's makel because it's just too difficult to be machmir. Again, you're talking late 19th century Russia. So he says it's impossible to be machmir, and therefore we have to be makel. So we put all these different studim together to be makel. There are many that have pointed out that nowadays in America it's maybe not so difficult to be machmir. When I was talking to Rabbi Marcus about his grandfather, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he said, you know, one of his grandfather's biggest contributions to American Jewry is bringing chadash, bringing yashan, hakpadat, only yashan, to America. That no one was makbar on it before he came along, and he worked very hard to be able to do it. Rav Moshe was not makbid. The Rav himself, Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's brother, the Rav, was not makbid. The Mishnah Berurah, just one very important ha'ara, is that the Mishnah Berurah points out in Bir Halacha that a lot of times people are makel, he says, because even people that are makbar in every chumrah and every kutzo shel yud of halacha, people are very makel with this, he says. And he says that he thinks the reason is that they realize that if they were going to be machmir on the beer, which, who knows, maybe beer is a lesser isra because it's only a flavor of the chadash, not the actual chadash itself. There are those that say it's batel berov, and they're going to be machmir on blios and kalim. So they're not going to be able to eat at anyone's houses. And they're going to be machmir. It's just impossible. To take it all the way is going to be impossible, and therefore they give up and they say, I'm not going to observe it. Says the Bir Halacha, it's not an all or nothing. It's not all or nothing. You could be makbid for certain more manageable elements of it, and not makbid for the less manageable elements of it. So he suggests, he doesn't say it this way, but he suggests if there are five pizza shops in town, and two of them have yashan, so go to those two. Doesn't mean that you have to not eat from blios of kalim or whatever. You don't have to, okay, so you're not going to go that far. But you can at least be makbid a little bit. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. Again, having said that, many gedolim v'tovim mimenu in America, in similar circumstances as us, have not been makbid. So if you were to ask me, do you need to be makbid on the chadash? Again, Taz doesn't like the excuse of the fact that gedolim did it, but between all these different kulas and the fact that it's enough for Ramah that says it's Svek Sveka, and you're able to rely on the Svek Sveka, even if we don't have a full Havana of the Svek Sveka, it seems that there's what to rely on. But if you want to be machmir, you don't have to be machmir all the way, but to be machmir even baby steps, says the Bir Halacha is kedai. It still makes sense to be machmir even in baby steps. Yeah.